Before we go much farther, a few things, three to be exact, I'd like everybody to, before we are our kids ready to be dismissed? Let's, oh, they're already back there? Okay. Kids, you're ready, if you are in the room, you should not be, you need to be back in kids' church. Amen? So if kids are in the room, pinch your parents and they'll send you back there. We're going to pray some more for a few people right now. Mike just told me that Jean is in the hospital. Don't know exactly what for. Probably the same. No, she's not. Okay. She's home now. Praise the Lord. On the fly. News on the fly. This is like, amen. I like that. Thank you for somebody updating or interrupting me. That's appreciated. So we'll pray for her. And then also David. Love praying for them. Beautiful people of our fellowship. This isn't I'll try to be really serious about this, okay? But we need to pray for George and Debbie. They are both not here this morning because they went on a motorcycle ride and they both laid their bikes down. And they're both okay. They're both okay, according to Jack. According to how it happened, is Jack was behind him and Debbie slipped on some gravel, went down, and George freaked out, panicked, and flipped a U-turn and slipped on some gravel even harsher, and he went down, and he's the one that has got some fractured bones and sore ribs and road rash. And Debbie's probably at home saying, "What were you doing, you big goof? I had it under control." I guess he saw her in the mirror go down and he panicked and reacted. And so no other vehicles were involved, which is a good thing because that could usually be a lot more tragic and devastating. So we'll pray for them. Seriously, we'll pray for them. And then we'll make fun of them a little later. He'll probably make fun of himself more than we'll make fun of him. So Father God, we just lift up David and Jean to you right now. Precious people of the kingdom, precious children of yours that you care about so deeply, we ask that you would even now just bless their bodies, pray healing into her body and Jean's body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak life, we speak healing into her body. Thank you, Lord. Pray strength for David as he helps and goes through this with Jean as life mates. Just thank you for them. Thank you for each other. And then, Lord, we lift up George and Debbie to you. We just ask a blessing on them. May their bodies rest and heal quickly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The third thing I was going to mention, because I think it's pretty exciting, Stephen isn't in the room now. He's teaching kids' church, which is really cool. As he was sharing about the kids and what they're doing in the high schools, I think it's indicative to share this one thing that I love about this is what we're doing in this community is the youth are gathering together to really show themselves strong in the Lord. And I see this and I see it very clearly and I see a big picture of it. And it's starting at the young age and it's starting in the elementary schools where so many times the high school has been the place of it's been the mission field, and it still is, and it needs to ought to be, but there's a real mission field in the junior highs and the elementary schools right now to just share the love of God and the truth of God's word and God's care and concern for each and every one of these young people. It's really awesome to see it. You know, we know that in about 2 years, a year and a half or so, we're going to have another new high school in Lincoln, which is really awesome. It's fantastic. I love that. I love that the expansion and growth brings people, and people are what God is about. And so as these schools, new schools, there's one being built over even over in Lincoln Crossing by our house. It's like, I see it as opportunity. I see it as really fantastic, amazing places for the gospel to be presented, to be shared, for these kids to be developed in the Lord. And we are not. This community of Lincoln of believers are not succumbing to the evil of this world. Yes, we live in a really messed up world that's even brings more confusion in the state of California than ever before into these young people's lives, but we're not going to just hand our kids over. Amen? Come on, we are not going to hand our kids over to the devil. Come on, we are not going to hand our kids over to the devil. Right, Hunter? So we need to be on board and just totally backing whatever we could back with financially, prayers, these young people that are intent on seeing young people, their peers, come to know Jesus. I think there's a lot of things that I'm always wondering what you'd find in a person if you could slice them open and just kind of like say, here's what's inside of me. Not physically, that'd be too gory and stuff. It'd be like, yeah, but just like, here's what, I think you'd find some things inside of us that are really awesome. I really do believe that. Really awesome. I think there's a lot of God stuff inside of us. It's inside of me passionately. So I wanted to ask before I even start this message if Krista, are you? I wanted Krista to come up and share some stuff because I here's someone that, you know, you guys see her heart as she worships, but I don't know if you see her heart as in her passion for children that I think is really awesome. So would you share?
Sure.
I think so. I do not know.
It's red.
You guys should know. Oh, there
now
you go.
It's green.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't use these microphones either. All right. Okay. Well, I thought a lot about this because Eric asked me to come up and speak, and I'm not a speaker. So I'm sorry if I ramble or tangent. But I really thought about it. He asked me two questions, which I know you guys have probably heard, and that's, what do you do and how does it impact the community? And as I thought about it, I kind of laughed because a couple years ago, I ran into a lady who was like, somehow we got on the topic of what we do, and she's like, well, I am the informative of the children's ministry of the cooperative thing of the thing of the thing for K through 12. I'm like, oh, I do that too. I teach Sunday school. And she just kind of looked at me, but I was like, these names people come up with. But, you know,
was that my sister?
No.
Oh.
No. Sure. I don't know who it was. It was some lady I met in the grocery store because, you know, drive Blake crazy. I like to talk to everybody I see when there's awkward, you know, quiet moments like in elevators. But anyways, yeah, I'm that person. Anyways, so as I thought about it, though, I was like, you know, I do this, and I could tell you what I do. You know, I coordinate the Sunday school lessons, and I help the Sunday school teachers do what they need to do to teach our children. And I'm just there if I'm needed. But as I thought about it, you know, I really, the Lord put on my heart one word, and it was mom. And I have my own kids, yes, absolutely. But I really do feel like that. I feel like these kids are my kids, the youth group, the Sunday school, and I love them like they're my children. In a different way. I think I'm a little more lenient with other people's kids, but no, but I do. I love them. And so that was the word that really was put on my heart. I go in and I, you know, I put together these lessons for the teachers to do, but like, I really feel like my heart in this ministry is just to love these kids. And as we see kids, especially during youth group, come in and they're hurting, it's like, all I want to do is just hug them. And I want to help them. And sometimes they make me crazy because I'm like, just do this. Why are you doing this? Do this. And I'm like, that's totally mom. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you taking the hard road?
Amen.
But that was the word that the Lord gave me, was mom, mother. because I do. I love these kids, and you know, as far as how that affects the community, you know, I thought about that a lot too, and I was like, you know, I don't know. We don't always see it. These kids go home. Sometimes they don't come back. There's a lot of really hurting kids that we've had that I've never seen again because their parents moved them. But almost as if it was for this subject, the other day I was walking home. It was after Katie's shower. And I was walking home and I saw a little girl. And I haven't seen her in years. And my heart breaks for her because I know her family. And she's not one of the lucky ones, I guess you would say. She's had it hard. All of her siblings, I've seen them grow up. It's a big family. And she's thrown between her mom and her dad. And there's always... Anyways, I saw her and I thought to myself, I thought, she's not going to know who I am. But I want to say hi to her anyways because I love her. And I called her name out. And she looked at me and her eyes widened, her mouth dropped, and she ran to me. And her dad looked at me like, what? And she ran and she wrapped her arms around me and she would not let go. And that was one of those moments where I was like, thank you, God, because sometimes you don't realize what God does through you. And I say it that way because God does it through me. I don't do that. I don't do that because I tend to be impatient and sometimes a little too rough and blunt. But through me, Christ works. And those kids see love. And one day, amen, when she's old enough to be able to make a decision of where she goes, I know she'll be back here or somewhere because I know that she loves the Lord. And that brought me so much joy and so much peace. And, you know, it's not the first time that those experiences happened. And I know Robin and Eric and Leslie, you guys can attest to having kids that you've ministered to as children come back as they're older and speak about how those times impacted them and how much of a difference you made in those moments. Whether it's because just for a moment your parents couldn't show you exactly how they felt about you, or maybe there was a long stretch of time where there was struggles at home and you just had love poured out upon you. You know, and that's what we do. That's what I do. Amen. I know that I could give myself 100 different titles, but I don't want that. I love the title mom because like it means that. I get to love those kids and I get to love them in such a way that's different. And some of these kids need it so bad, and I'm so blessed to be able to be that for them. Even if, like I said, it's just for a moment, even if it's just, you know, just that, or even just that different kind of love that they need at that moment. So as far as what I do here, that's what I do. I love these kids, and I do. I love them so deeply, and my heart hurts to see them go astray, and we can always use your guys' prayer because a lot of kids are hurting, and it's a rough time to be a kid right now. There's so many confusing things being thrown at you, but and to say that, you know, is the other part of it. I was thinking about the seasons as I was talking about how we have different seasons in our life. And I feel like the Lord has given me different jobs in different seasons. And I'm so blessed by that, too. And I keep telling people as I'm doing Sunday school and stuff, they're like, don't you need a break or something? I'm like, no, this is my season. This is my season, and I am blessed by it. I am so happy to be doing that. And if that means that I have to be doing it more, I'll do it more. I am blessed by that because that is my season and where God has me. So I think that's what you
should. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you, Krista. It's interesting, as I was praying for you this morning and praying for her to share and just share the Lord's heart and share the Lord's word and what the Lord wanted to share through her. And that's the word that the Lord gave me about you too, was, you know, he used the word term church mom as I was praying for you. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. Yeah. And it was like, that's pretty cool. And I see it evidently all over the place too, when she's interacting as a mom would interact in a family, kind of going scurrying about and trying to see that all the kids are well taken care of and well protected. I don't know if you know how much goes on behind behind the scenes where Krista's mom's eyes are watching. Yes, even me. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak this morning. I'm going to go right into it. Last week we talked about being childlike, and that's, I think, is as I'm uncovering and unwrapping, if you will, unraveling some of the things that Jesus spoke in the Gospels. Some of these things can be misconstrued, misunderstood, and and one of the aspects of Blake's study on in Romans, one of the things that he hit on and it hit me really clearly. And I don't know if you really want to get into the depth and the meat of God's word, come on Tuesday night, and I guarantee you will leave kind of over full with some grainy, delicious ribeye word. I mean, if there's anything that's what Robin asked me. She said, "What did you eat last night?" Because she was gone, and I was all by myself, and I was craving a ribeye steak. Again, it's like, dang, it's like, I don't know what it is about that ribeye steak that's got the marbling in it, and it's got the flavor in it, and they're a little pricey. Get the good stuff, the grass-fed ribeye steak, and oh my gosh, it was so delicious. Just, that's what you get on Tuesday night, ribeye steak, right, Joey? Yeah. It's good stuff, man. You got to like, it's got flavor to it. It's got that chewiness to it that's like, oh, you hungry? Yeah? Now you're hungry. Oh, you're going to go get one. It's kind of weird when you walk into a grocery store and just get one. But at least for me it is, because I've like never do that. I always get, you know, like a six-pack or whatever, because there's a lot of us. So I'm going to get into a scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 7. I talked about the few and the many and the few. The few and the many last week. I said this is what we're going to talk about this week. So let's just get right into it. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13, actually. Might have popped up 12 also, but that's it. We'll jump back to 12 in a second. Because I wanted to talk about what this is. Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate." There's 12 and then 13. Yes, there you go. Thank you. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Jesus uses this wording like very particularly, and I think it's interesting he uses these words, but there's just two words in there that I think we need to at least highlight real quick. He uses the words what? Few and many. Interesting though, isn't it? If that's read at just like, if you will, just this face value, doesn't that seem to come across as though God is a little bit exclusive, a little bit like, hey, you know, almost like he's making it difficult to come into the kingdom, like it's a challenge, and you gotta be a ninja warrior type, you know, Christian to be able to make it through, because only a few actually make it. Yeah, do you have to be a champion of champions? You know, if you're a sports fan, it's like, man, only a few actually make it to the playoffs, and a few actually make it to the World Series or two. So it's like, wow, it seems like this is like really exclusive, doesn't it? At face value. You guys with me? But I want to tell you, and I think we need to just uncover it, unwrap it, if you will, unravel it. And it's actually exactly the opposite of what that seems to be, according to our brains, what Jesus is actually talking about. Because what he's really saying is, I am offering it to everyone. All are offered this opportunity to come into the kingdom, to get life. Right? God is looking to include, not to exclude. How many of you can recite John 3:16? Carson, can you get it? No? Okay. Well, that's it. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. Next month, I'm sure he'll have it. I guarantee it. Right, buddy? Where'd you go? Don't put your head down. Hold your head up. Come on. We got this. John 3:16. Who can recite it for me? That's pretty good. Pretty good. That was pretty good. Whosoever. You guys know if that's the one thing that if you were going to split me open and open me up, that would probably be tattooed on my heart. Whosoever. Because I love that. Because that's to me is my heartbeat is whosoever will believe, choose to follow. That's the offer. The offer is more inclusive than it is exclusive. You guys tracking with me on that? Because that's, I think it's really key to understand that. You know, even when you get into the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my favorite Old Testament verses of the Bible. If it's a single verse, it's one of my faves. It says this. You guys probably heard me quote it many, many times. I allude to it a whole lot. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro." To and fro, they run. Eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. That's awesome. Throughout the whole earth, to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. Another wording in the letter translation, those whose heart is loyal to Him. Those whose heart is sold out, given over, surrendered to God. God is looking to and fro, His eyes all throughout the whole world to look who He can instill His strength into. That's awesome. Another translation will say this in a way that says, looking to see who He can show Himself up in. That's the wording that it's actually used, is God is looking to show up in people's lives. Hello? And it just simply comes down to our heart being loyal to Him, blameless to Him. So He's looking to include as opposed to exclude. He's not like the Roseville DMV who's looking to fail these kids before they ever get a license, right? Amen? Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about. They're looking for ways to fail you as opposed to pass you. God's not like the DMV. Amen. Although He is as slow as the DMV, as patient. Perfect timing. Always. God forgive me for referring to you as the DMV, but that's... So let's really, like I said, I want to just unwrap this, talking about this passage, because here's what he gets into. He says, "Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by are many, but for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." This is why I want to jump back to verse 12 right here, because as we read this, it'll kind of give us insight into why he's referring to this narrow gate, wide gate, narrow way, wide way. It says, whatever you wish, this is what we refer to as the golden rule, right? The golden rule, and not like my old boss used to say, whoever has the most gold rules, not that golden rule. This is the golden rule of the Bible. If you have a Bible that has subtitles, it'll have that right in it. The golden rule. It's one we refer to it as. It says, so for whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this sums up, this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you would wish others to do to you, do unto them. And that covers all of Scripture. That one rule. That one teaching, that one, if we could just implement that very truth into and apply it to our everyday life, we would be obedient to what God says for us to do through everything. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? So let's just break into that. Let's talk about that, right? You guys ready? You guys with me? How many of you want to, okay, I'll just ask a couple other questions. Just it really gets you involved in this. Because remember, this is about interaction. Even if you don't speak up with your mouth, speak in your mind, if you will. As Addie says, right? Addie says, Yeah, when Addie says, when her mouth gets tired, she talks in her brain. Hey, I've got a page in my iPad of Addieisms. And they're the best, man. I'm like, oh, I got to write that one down. One of the most memorable one is this. She says, Papa, what happened to your hair? Did those boys take it? I just thought that was funny. Yeah. Pretty much, huh? Carson, where are you going? Oh, you're up? Okay, good. Keep that head up. So let's talk about this wide road as opposed to the narrow road, the wide gate as opposed to the narrow gate. Because I want to know what that looks like. Because if the intent is Jesus being inclusive, he wants to get us on the narrow road. And he's not looking for ways to just say, oh, nope, you're not, didn't make it, didn't cut the mustard on that one, son. You are out in the cold. Even though he uses these terms, he uses a term that I wanted to break down and kind of like dissect another time, because Jesus is the only one that used the term weeping and gnashing of teeth, and he uses it regularly in Scripture as he's teaching, and he teaches a parable, and then he says, for the outside is where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know that we've come up with different things of what that means and stuff, but I'm like, I don't know if we really know what that actually means. In fact, I'm 100% sure we really don't. No, I'm not. But the intent is this, is, and if we get this, I believe we can really walk forward. And as we walk forward with the Lord, we're going to have an understanding that you know, this thing that I'm doing in life is got a purpose and got a meaning. And there's not just my identity in it, but there's something happening in the kingdom that God has got me perfectly placed in this perfect time for a specific reason, for His goodness, His glory, His beautiful plan for my life has got meaning. And that's something. Doesn't that mean something? Absolutely it does. So can I just ask a question? Do you want to be on the straight and narrow road? That was a question to actually answer. Wasn't a trick question, I promise. Hello, would you like to be on the straight and narrow road according to what Jesus had just said? Those who enter it leads to life. Those who walk it, it leads to life. So would you like to be on that straight and narrow road? Yeah. So let's talk about the wide road. The wide road is the easy road that he says, wide and easy, but it leads to destruction. Here's the thing that I don't think we realize in this. That's not so obvious as we might think it should be. Because we would think, well, gosh, why would you get on a wide road when you know it's going straight to destruction? Even if everybody else is walking on it, why would you get on it knowing that the end result is hell and damnation or destruction, torture, torment in this life? Why would you get on it? Hello? I mean, just let's break it down. Why would we get on that road and start walking it? Okay, that would be a good reason, and that's a valid reason, because we're duped, we're tricked, we've been deceived. And you know what? Every single one of us in this room has the potential of being deceived. The Bible tells us, Jeremiah 17, you guys know this, that the heart is deceitful above and beyond all things. Who can understand it? Who can know it? God is the only one that can show you your heart, reveal it to you, and you must be open to seeing it as God shows you. So yes, deception is one. How about this? Just simple as this. Because it works. The wide, easy road works. No. Let's break that down real quick. The wide road that everybody is walking on, it works at the time that you're walking on it. Hello? It seems to has the appearance of and even has the allure that it is the correct way to go. If everybody else is going that direction, doesn't it make sense that that's the right direction to go? Hello? Come on, you guys with me? I hope you're with me to be able to understand why it's important for us to understand the wide road and the narrow road. Okay, pressure to be a part of the crowd. You don't want to be the oddball, that weird person, the weirdy, we in my day it was called the Bible thumpers. That's how I was mocked and made fun of and excluded to be a part of the in crowd. I was the Bible thumper. A Jesus freak? Yeah. Yeah, that was about in the 90s, so. Because we want to, there is a, Blake said it even also, he said that there is a inclination within us to take the easy road. That works even. How many of you, listen, let me ask you a quick question. How many of you have smartphones? Does anybody have a smartphone? Anybody not have a smartphone? Maybe I should.
Yeah.
It could be Android. It could be iPhone. It doesn't matter. But here's the thing that, have you guys not noticed this about the smartphones? I know you noticed. You know what I'm talking about. Is you get this smartphone, and when you get it, it comes already it's a I'm not sure if it's uploaded or downloaded, but it already comes programmed with all of these bells and whistles and all this stuff, right? Well, guess what happens in about every 3 to 6 months? They get the upgrade, right? Right? And so you have to download the upgrade, which that's always a goofy thing to do. I don't know. You got to download the upgrade. But here's what you have to do, and how many of you have wrestled with this? Listen, you guys know what I'm talking about. How many of you say, well, why would I download the upgrade when I know it's already working in my system? If I do that, I run the risk of this new upgrade not working correctly because now I know what it's doing. I've got it all down sync and I've got it down pat and I know how to operate it. But now I download the upgrade and all of a sudden my phone pops up and everything's different.
I gotta learn something.
And now I got to learn it all over again. So fooey on the upgrades. I ain't downloaded nothing, right? Well, here's what you have to do to download the upgrade. What do you have to do to download the upgrade? You have to, first of all, you have to press agree, and you have to press start, all this stuff, and it downloads the upgrade. Sometimes it'll happen automatically when you're in sleeping at night. But what you have to do, listen, what you have to do is you have to, in downloading the upgrade, you're removing the old system and implementing the new system into your device, correct? So you have to, by faith, listen, you do this by faith, you trust somebody that you do not know, that is smarter than you, that knows how to fix the stuff that is, that you didn't even know was broken, right? Come on, does this not sound like your spiritual life? It does to me, because I'm like, I didn't know that I was so jacked up. And God will say, did you see how you reacted to that person? That's not correct, is it? I'm like, oh, I guess now that you bring that up. No, it's not correct. So we have to, by faith, trust somebody in knowing that they know what's better for us than even we know it. the wide road says, I don't want to take those risks. I want to do what's been working. I want to keep doing what everybody else is doing, and I just really want it easy. And the narrow road is a road of risks, a road of faith, a road of trusting in a God that you may not really know that well. Because you didn't have a father to show you what God looked like. And that's tough to do for all of us, isn't it? For most of us, if not all of us, that's really tough to do. See, Jesus isn't looking for opportunities and ways to exclude you. He's saying, trust me. It's going to be a challenge because I already know. I came in, this was 2,000 years ago. I came into this world and this world is a mess. And you've all got it going against you. But I'm coming into, and I'm coming into your life to show you that there's a better way. And it's going to be tough. And it's not that I'm making it hard. I'm not making it hard. Actually, if you take my yoke upon you, my burden is light and easy. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. That's awesome. That's great news, is it not? Amen. So, you know, just asking a couple of more questions, I'm going to break it down a little bit more. Robin, you told me this morning, I like that definition of wisdom. And can you say it again? Do you have it by memory? Oh. Seeing life from God's perspective. And when we take that and we say, well, God, this is when I look at life from your perspective and I look at how to do things in life from your perspective, I'm constantly, and this is a constant thing, you're constantly downloading the upgrade. He is always at work doing something inside of you. Hello? Amen. You know, and how does this play out? So then what does the narrow road look like? Because how does this play out? Because if we don't really like think about it, and we just like don't become mindful about walking, entering through the narrow gate and walking down the narrow way, we might find ourselves actually drifting into the wide road without realizing it. So I think there's intentionality to walking the narrow way, 100%. But what does that look like on my everyday walk? Because he said it's a walk, you walk the narrow way, so you go down this direction. So there's more than just like opening up the door and saying yes to salvation through Jesus by the grace of God through faith. That's I believe, yes, that is the narrow gate that he's referring to, because that takes absolute humility to receive God's grace. You have to admit that you need God's grace. That means you ain't good enough on your own. You are not enough. You are not sufficient enough. You cannot do it on your own. You need Jesus. To open and go through that gate, you need to admit that you need Jesus. And that is a confession of your mouth that says, I need you, Jesus, as my Savior. But now I'm walking. What does that look like? What's that look like? The walk of the narrow way. Any suggestions? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Any examples? Any testimonies? Okay, I got one. Well, go ahead, Mike. Okay. I'm not sure what you're saying, Mike, but all I hear is like, is that like if I, my. Your gate demo looks easy, that one's shorter, but not as easy, kind of hesitant. All right, that's good. So a pause. Yours would be to just keep your mouth shut for a second and think about it and then speak. That's a narrow way for Mike, right? He knows it. How about just simply, you know, I know this is going to get a little gritty. You guys give me permission to get a little gritty? I'll just delve into the Ten Commandments. How about that? How about that? Because according to what Jesus said, whatever he says, if you wish that other, wait, how did he say it? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, also do to them. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Yeah, we just go to the Ten Commandments. How about that? That's pretty simple, right? there is an aspect to this I think is interesting. I believe also that the narrow walk is one that we are walking in reflection on ourselves, not on ourselves, but about how my walk has an impact on others in the kingdom and in the community and those around me in life. And that's actually what Jesus is teaching there when he says, what you would wish others to do to you, do to them. So many of us reverse that. You see that reversed in your life? How does that get reversed? We swap that, right? No, what we do is we hold other people. That's good. I like that too, but that wasn't what I was referring to. So we say, well, if they were real Christians, they would do this to me because that's what I would do. And we hold people accountable to how we think they should treat me as opposed to how I should be treating them. Hello? Hello? Yeah. We do that too. Yeah. Huh? That's gritty, because it's true. How many of you said, well, if they really loved me, they would do this? What have you just done? You've done what the Pharisees did. You switched it around. So let me swap that and make it now about how you treat me as opposed to how I treat you. Let's not look at that. Or we could just look at my intentions of how I treat you. That's all good, right? Yeah. Well, I would never. I think we ought to just use those ought to be words that like ding, 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 ding. Maybe that's not the narrow way. The other day, and I think this goes into a lot of different things. I will break down the Ten Commandments real quick because I think it's kind of imperative for us to understand that, how that can be implemented into a Christ-like, grace-filled, spirit-filled walk. The other day, I was I dropped Robin off at a store. I think it was Hobby Lobby. Yes, it was Hobby Lobby. She needed to go in there and get some stuff, and so I, like, well, okay, go in. I got some phone calls to make. I'll sit here and blah blah. And I'm out there making phone calls, and I noticed this woman, probably about 65, maybe 70 years old, wandering around the parking lot with stuff. And I'm like, and she's holding her keys, and I'm like, oh man, I could tell she can't find her car. So, what's that? It wasn't. So I'm like, oh, so I'll watch her. And then I went and made a phone call, and I didn't see her again. So I thought, oh, she must have found her car. So I was going to see how I could help her. But anyway, so I was like, oh, man. So I'm sitting there. I made 3 or 4 phone calls. That was like 10 minutes. And then I got to go use the restroom. So I walk into the Hobby Lobby, and the restroom's in the far back corner. So I go all the way to the back corner, use the restroom. And as I'm walking out, I'm like, oh, I remember my granddaughter wanted some fairy garden stuff that had to do with unicorns. So I'm like, oh, I'll see what they have. So I go through and I look and I get a couple things, go check out. Literally probably 20 minutes goes by, and I'm walking out the store, and there she was still. And I was just at that point, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for her. Because at that point, I'm like, she is in tears. She literally, her eyes were watery. And I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm just looking for my car. I can't find it. And I said, oh, do you know what kind it was? She goes, well, it was a BMW. I said, well, do you know what color it was? And it was gray. And she goes, and my dog was in it. And she goes, I was only in the store for 15 minutes, and she'd been walking around literally at that time about a half an hour. the parking lot. She said, it must have been stolen. It must have been stolen. I said, well, ma'am, and so here's what happens. I'm like, she's confused. She's walking around. She couldn't remember what door she had gone into or where she had parked. So I'm like, ma'am, I'll help you find it. And at that point, and I know this sounds simple, but I'm thinking, this is probably, if this was, you know, yes, an elderly woman, and I'm a man, and she's just, and said, you know what, I'm just going to help her anyway, against what, you know, popular culture would say, what I could be accused of, and all that stuff. So I'm like, is there any way that we could find your car? She goes, well, it's just gray, and there's a dog, and it's a BMW, and it's got this thing on the back. And I'm like, well, and finally I said, well, are you sure you parked at this door? She goes, oh, that's it. I parked at the wrong door, and I forgot that I parked at the wrong door. So I know where my car is now. And it was way over on the other side of the parking lot, on the other side of the store. So can I just walk you over there and make sure you got it? And she goes, yeah, that would be great. And so sure enough, there was her car with her little dog in it. And the dog was okay. It's not summertime yet. But what I'm getting at is this, and I think that was like the Lord was saying, you see, if you did what you knew what needed to be done to help that person, in spite of all the checks and balances that you might have been checked in because you thought, well, is this okay to do? In this day and age, is it okay to actually help somebody, a stranger that could accuse me of other things, and I did it anyway? And I'm thinking that's simple and it's small, but it really saved that woman's dog, because she really thought her car was stolen and she didn't know what to do at this point. So what does the narrow gate look like? Because yes, there's going to be opportunities like that to do stuff that is really neat and really good. But there's also going to be other opportunities. I don't know if you guys hear this one that I'll share with you, another one. It was a while back. Right about 6-8 months ago, Cameron, my son, called me and he says, "Dad, I'm really struggling. We're about a couple $100 behind in our bills, and I just need to, just for a couple about a week. Is there any way you can help me out?" So I'm like, "Yeah, I'll go to your bank. Give me your bank number and all this stuff." And so I'm like, "Okay." So I go in. He gives me that, and so I'm gonna deposit a couple $100 in my son's account. And they said, "Well, you can't do that." I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about? Did you guys hear this story yet?" "Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I told it already once." They said, "Well, you can't do that. You're not on his account, and you don't have an account at our bank. So you cannot, by law, you cannot deposit money into your son's account." I was like, "Well, it's cash. I just want to put cash into his house." "Well, that's even worse." "What?" "Like, oh yeah, there's laws against laundering money, and that's exactly what that looks like." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And this is what happened. So I'm like, and I was real Christian at that point. Not, I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" It said, "This bank," and I won't name the bank because I think it's a fine bank, but it said, "There's a good reason why I'll never bank at this bank." And I said it loud enough so everybody in the bank could hear me. I said, "So what do I got to do to get money in my son's account?" They said, "Well, you have to get a money order and you could deposit that." I'm like, "What?" It's like, "Do you guys sell money orders?" "Nope, we can't do that either." It's like, "Oh my gosh." I'm like, "This is absolutely ridiculous." And I stormed out. Showed them, didn't I? Showed them. Son still needed money in his account. And there's only one of these banks in town. So I'm like, "God, okay. Go get a money order. Go over to Walmart. The money orders are super cheap there." Like, "Yeah, I'll just..." And I literally, like, on the way to Walmart, I'm like, "Oh, I can't wait to go back. I'm going to go ask for a manager, blah, 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 blah." And then on the way back to the bank, the Holy Spirit just got in nice and neat into my craw. Said, "How did that look as a pastor, Christian. I said, oh, okay. That was embarrassing. So I actually asked the Lord. I said, Lord, would you give me the opportunity to make that right? And sure enough, I waited for that same teller to make sure till she was free, and I walked up to her and I said, look, I'm just really sorry for how I acted. That was wrong of me to go off on you. You're going by the rules. I understand it. Would you please forgive me? I said, I'm sorry. You're just doing your job. And she looked at me and she goes, well, 100% yes. I said, and I'm sorry that we had to implement those rules, even for, and this is what she said, even for somebody good like you that was just trying to do good. And I feel like, and this is what, this was a that was a narrow way opportunity, if there ever was one, to walk in and humble yourself, even though the ridiculousness of it was so wrong that I could not even comprehend why, other than the whole laundering money thing, which it's okay, I get it, but it was for an opportunity to listen, to do this. And this is what it comes down to. It's in 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says that verse. The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth. And it's not just at certain times, at all times, to give strong support, looking to show himself up in people's hearts who are loyal to him. And see, in that moment of a loyal heart to him, God the Holy Spirit was able to penetrate and get into even my principle and penetrate my principle of I was wronged, and give him the opportunity to be glorified in my life by humbling myself in front of somebody that I made a fool of, even though I felt I was right. Like I said, I have an argument of all the way how right I was until God, the Holy Spirit, showed me that being right isn't right. Wow. The wide road is the black and white right or wrong road, isn't it? Think about it. A wide road is the right and wrong road. Don't we seem to like if they're wrong, then they need to be shown they're wrong. Right? That's a wide way. That's a wide road. Because that doesn't bring glory to God. Hello? Has anybody ever shown you that you were wrong? Oh, okay. Most of you weren't ever been wrong. Have you ever been honked at? Didn't that just make you feel glorious and grand and like, oh man, I'm so glad they honked at me and showed me I was wrong? Yeah. No. It does nothing for the kingdom to prove people wrong. Nothing. What's that? Okay. Gosh. Been hanging around the boys too much. Oh. Well, you know what I'm talking about. You get honked at because you just cut them off or something. Not to prevent a car accident. Yeah, that's obvious. So let's go back real quick. Okay, you guys just want to give me another 5 minutes? I promise. I can go through this in 5 minutes. I promise. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Talking about the narrow road, walking it that way, when he says it's summed up by, if you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, looking at that is saying that sums up the law and the prophets. You know, when we look at this is, you know, I believe that the wide road is this. It's like, well, I didn't kill anybody today. Hey, I'm all right, right? But what does the narrow road say? Hello? No, what is the narrow? Okay, the wide road says I didn't kill anybody. What does the narrow road say? Okay, gosh, you guys really are missing this, aren't you? Okay, what did Jesus say about you? He said, "You have heard that it has said that you shall not murder, but I say, if you look at your brother and if you call him a fool, if you have hatred in your heart towards somebody, that's the narrow road." Hello, right? What did he say about, okay, hello, yes, go ahead, Tori. Okay, you're going to have to read it really loud. Go ahead. Go ahead. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So you see what he's, and that's good. Thank you, Tori, because that's exactly what he's talking about. No, so let's go into a couple others. You guys want to? Real quick. It says, you've heard that it says, okay, a wide road is, hey, I didn't sleep with my neighbor's wife. Right? That's a, yeah, good job, huh? Yay. Good job today. You did well. What's the narrow road say? I didn't lust after her. Ooh, how about that? How about the wide road that says, I didn't steal from my boss, or I didn't steal from the grocery store, or I didn't steal from this way, right? I didn't steal anything today. That's the wide road. You may say, well, gosh, what's so bad about that? Like advocating not stealing, so you're saying we should steal? No, absolutely, 100% not. If you think that way, you're thinking way wrong and you're way off, and that's, you got a lot of other issues going on. But but what's the narrow road in that? Okay, don't even think about it. Nope, that's close, but not even close, sorry. Huh? That's one of them, not to covet, but what is the narrow road in not stealing? This is going to go deep. You're going to have to give me an extra 2 minutes on this one. What's that? To be a giver. Did you guys know that? If you are, listen, I want you guys, have you ever read the book of Malachi? The book of Malachi says this, in God speaking to God's people, he says, you have said, you do this, but you say this. Remember, he says, you have robbed me by not giving tithes and offerings. Did you know that? No, listen. So the wide road says, this is going to get really heavy for a second. The wide road says, well, I pay my tithe. I should be good to go. I pay my tithe, so I should be good to go. Or maybe I don't pay my tithe, well, then you're a thief. That's what the Bible says. If you don't pay back to God, which he has given you, your tithe, you're a thief. And he says, well, if you, so to be not a thief, you mean all I got to do is pay 10%? Well, that's still the wide road. Because he says, the narrow road is this. Give with a grateful, cheerful, abundant heart. Because God has given to you more than you can even handle. Did you hear that? That's a narrow way to look at it. And it's the right way. It's the narrow road that says give. Be a giver. Not out of obligation, but as an opportunity to bless others. That's awesome. That's a whole nother way to look at it, isn't it? Because the wide road seems like, well, gosh, it's the right thing to do. It seems like it's so black and white. Just do the right thing. Is it just about doing the right thing? No. It's way more than that. It's about being obedient to the more than the impressions, but the leading of the Holy Spirit on your heart to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. And you get into lying. It's like, well, you could say, well, I didn't lie today. Well, come on. Really? Or how about covet? To covet somebody. What's covetousness? What does a wide road of covetousness look like? Huh?
I want.
Well, they got it. Why can't I have it, right? I deserve it. I deserve it. I challenge you never to use the word deserve in your language in any way, shape, or form, because it's not biblical, unless you want to be on a wide road. A narrow road is one that's full of absolute grace. And I know this is, it's heavy because it's really real to walking by grace. Because here's the thing is, when we enter through the narrow gate through Jesus as Lord and Savior, we must stay on that narrow road, that narrow way, because as we enter in by grace through faith, what's the walk require us then to do? Continue to walk by grace through faith. We don't enter in by grace through faith and then all of a sudden it turns into works, right? Read the book of Galatians. You'll discover that that's exactly what Paul's referring to. The entire letter of Galatians is that issue. So we enter in by grace through faith. We walk by grace through faith. And that's, it's narrow, it's right, it's correct. It's the way that leads to life. And that way that leads to life gives other people the opening and the opportunity to come into that same way. Right? Hello? Because when we come in by grace through faith and we say, now we got to do all this and do all that, and then we put all these things and these requirements on everybody else, what have we done? We all of a sudden opened it up to the wide road that everybody's traveling on. And it's the easy road. I know that seems like, well, by works is easy. Well, it's the easy road that leads to destruction. The narrow road is the one that leads to life by grace through faith. Amen. Now this can open up a whole big can of worms, which is kind of fun. But we need to move on. So let's pray. Father God, we just ask for your glory, your goodness, your grace, your kindness to be covered over us as we just bask in your goodness. Show us how much you care about us, but in showing us that you care about us, Lord, show us your heart for those in our lives that need you, Jesus. That need you, Jesus. That we may see, life through your eyes and then truly be wise. And that you may show up, in the opportunities to do good. That you may show up in the opportunities to humble ourselves. That you may show up in the opportunities to trust you through the hard stuff, that you may show up and show yourself strong and glorious and good in our lives. In Jesus' name, by your Spirit, do this in us. Amen. Amen.